Project Electric Sheep will launch soon. It is a dream simulator. You type in your dream, literally, just whatever you thought you'd dreamt of, and then the 3D world will be generated in front of your eyes, interpreting that dream. So all the buildings, all the weather system, the characters, the dialogue, the faces, all generating in completely unique dreamlike way. So that's going to be quite fun.
Hey, what's going on? Hope you are well as always. So the question this week is, how far are we away from having a realistic conversation with an AI-driven character that feels like a real human experience? The answer is, we're not. It's here, it's called Charisma AI, and you can begin playing with it yourself today. Now, this technology goes much deeper than just to and fro conversation. Charisma AI essentially brings digital humans to life and powers these amazing character-driven experiences and stories. On this episode, we explain the basics of how it works, using different nodes to build possible responses and story outcomes in any given scenario, and incorporating GPT-3 as well. If that's too technical, don't worry, we chat it through simply on the show. Charisma AI is being used in a variety of different types of storytelling. That might be 2D, things like graphic novels, or 3D, digital humans or characters in games and other virtual experiences, or as part of an immersive real-life experience as well, which is where I discovered it first, and we talk about that in this episode too. Joining us today is the CEO of Charisma AI, the awesome Guy Gadney, who tells us about where this is all going and something incredible that they are working on that you definitely don't want to miss. Just a very quick ask from me, if you're enjoying the show, is to hit that follow button on your podcast platform. That is massively helpful, thank you. And without further ado, let's get stuck into this week's episode. Guy, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Total pleasure. Good to be here. Really good.
Good stuff. Yeah, excited to have you on. And I actually experienced Charisma AI in a real live setting in a sort of immersive theatre thing in London, which I'll talk about a bit later. And it was really interesting to me because it's one that really stood out. Obviously, the conversation around AI is everywhere suddenly, even though lots of people, yourself included, have been working on all this stuff for a long time. And there's so many new things. It's so fast-paced. Every day there's a new AI application. But Charisma, as soon as I saw it and experienced it, really stood out. So maybe you could just explain to people about Charisma, what it is, what it does, and what you're working on.
Yeah, I mean, Charisma is a platform for writers in the first instance to write interactive stories. And those interactive stories, I suppose the difference with what we do versus everyone else is that it's about putting people inside the story. So it's not just a question of having, I don't know, say four buttons on a screen and then choosing north, south, east, west, or whatever it might be. What we want to do is put you inside the story. So you're talking to the characters. I mean, voice, you're speaking to the characters and those characters speak back. And if you say something that's not particularly pleasant or that is very pleasant, then that should then change the story and indeed change the experience. So the experience that you had was with an immersive theatre company called Swamp Motel. And, you know, just to preface, it's Swamp Motel are fantastic. They're also not the first immersive theatre company we've worked with. I think we are drawn to the immersive theatre world, to theatre world, as indeed they are to us. And I think part of it, you know, from a conceptual level, is simply that it's almost like there's a proximity to audience. You know, if you go to a theatre play or whatever, there's a moment often at the end where they say, oh, you know, you've been a great audience, thank you so much. And there's meaning there, you know. It means that as performers on the stage, people have felt the presence of the audience. So I think that's, you know, that ties in a lot to what we're doing. So Charisma really, I suppose, is leveraging AI and specifically machine learning and natural language processing and to a degree, new GPT, generative AI systems as well, to enable these sorts of, you know, deeply immersive stories. Yes.
Yeah. And maybe I'll explain a bit of context on the experience I had without hopefully giving too much away. But the experience was called St. Jude. And it's quite mysterious, the sort of invite you get when you get a ticket and you kind of turn up. And it's this quite sort of medical setting and you are sort of recruited to work for this team of sort of clinical people that you're not quite sure what's happening. But the basic experience is that you then get taken into a booth and there's some storylines that goes with it. But you have a push-to-talk microphone and at the other end is an audio voice coming back to you and you are talking to a patient who is in a coma, but they can understand you with this technology. It's kind of the premise of the show, and the AI is being used so that you have this very real rich conversation with this character who is the preface is that they're in a coma and you begin to explore by asking your own questions and getting their different responses back, their story and what's happened to them and everything else. And it's happening in real time and you're really speaking to a voice that's coming back to you. And it was an amazing experience. If you're happy to share, I hope it doesn't spoil anything, and listen away if you are going to St. Jude, if you're in London. But I went and looked at some of your YouTube videos, which are amazing, and they just show the kind of process of what's happening there, which was really fascinating. And maybe you could talk through that. So if you are speaking to a new character and they're able to respond to your questions, maybe you could just talk through the process of how that's happening.
Sure. So it's interesting because I find myself more and more talking about charisma as a listening engine, as distinct from a sort of dialogue output engine. And I think that's what the sort of the key magic, I suppose, in the platform is the ability to listen to, in that instance, what you said and you were saying to this character in St. Jude, and to understand what the sentiment is of what you've said. And specifically the context. So in other words, you saying something at a particular moment in time in that story, if you said it at the beginning of the story, then the impact is probably going to be different to the end of the story. So within, again, that context of St. Jude, we met Swan Motel. They were looking for a new production. They became aware of what we were doing. And we started to work together and really came up with this. They came up with this concept. Sort of almost like the message matching the medium. You know, they knew, they understood what charisma can do and then wrote the story to fit. And so the process was, as you might imagine, start with the script, see how it works. And then that technology you were talking about. So the push-to-talk microphone and the screen that comes up in front of you, that screen, that sort of green, old-fashioned, you know, neon screen. Each one of those was hand-built for that particular production. So it was a fascinating production to work on. And I think they certainly learnt a lot about how to keep people down the rabbit hole for a long period of time. And again, no spoilers. I mean, the experience is nudging on an hour. That's a long time in this space to keep people in an immersive theatre production, when especially it's such a cerebral thing. It's not like you're walking around from house to house. You are, as you know, sort of sat in broadly pretty much in one space and talking to this character. Yeah.
Yes, it was cool. It was a really sort of trippy experience to be able to speak to a character that, you know, isn't a real life human, but you're having this conversation and they're listening and responding to your conversation and what you're saying and taking this story in different directions, which is cool. And maybe it'd be great to help people understand what's happening at kind of the back end of Charisma AI, because you can use this technology for various things, whether 2D or 3D characters. But maybe you could talk to us just about kind of the structure of what's happening behind the scenes.
Yes. So as a writer, what you see on the screen, you start, your first sort of blinking cursor really is you have a character node. And a character node is where you write a piece of dialogue that a character says. So, hello, how are you, for example. And then in a standard story form, what you might do next is then write a player node, which is listening to the answer to what the character said. So if the character said, hello, how are you, the player node is now going to listen for what that player says. So, you know, you just press a button that says sort of thumbs up. And then charisma is going to listen. If the player says, I'm fine, thank you very much, then we'll pick up on that using machine learning and natural language processing to then send the conversation in that way. So there's this nice sort of initial tic-tac of conversation between a character and a player that could be picked up. Now, of course, if the player then says something completely off track that the writer hasn't thought about, so character says, how are you? And I say, I like apples, then clearly that's not going to fit into a normal convention. It's slightly off piece. So we have this concept of a wildcard node, which is sort of user says anything else, player says anything else, and then you can head down that pathway in the right. You can write around playing, you know, I'm not quite sure what you mean. Or just as interestingly, we've now started to branch that wildcard node as a feature to send out to GPT-3 or generative AI, so it can add more context around that statement I said, like, I like apples. So, you know, rather than just say, that sounds a bit weird, which a writer might have written, the answer can be a lot more contextual. So I asked you how you were, and, you know, you're talking about fruit. That doesn't seem the right thing to say. So that's sort of the core piece of, I suppose, conversational exchange that happens. But then we took a huge amount of inspiration from the games industry, adding in two sort of other nodes called memories and gates. And a memory really remembers everything that you've done, not only what you said, but also whether in a game you might have knocked a glass of water off a table. Well, that could be sent back and, you know, and you're clumsy and you won't get served by the barman and again, or whatever it may be. And then a gate sort of is a way to open up or close down different story scenarios. And the example I might use in this is sort of, you know, man walks into a bar, what happens? See, the age-old sort of adage. Now, if you go to the people on the left, That's great. So people on the left probably are going to, their mood is going to be elevated, especially if you say something nice. The people on the right, less so, because you've gone in and talked to the people on the left and not on the right. So we're able to manage these quite complex scenarios. And yeah, there is a bit of sort of Westworld inspiration in there as well as we look at those. So we've tried to make this really friendly and easy to use. We build charisma through a process of running writers' labs as well around the country and getting inspiration from anything from poets through to AAA games writers, movie writers, novelists and so forth to get that workflow right. But it's, yeah, so it's, and you know what, I genuinely find it fun. I find myself sort of, you know, I'm out doing the company stuff and sort of trade shows and stuff, but every now and again in a quiet moment, I'll go back and I'll write a little story in Charisma and just sort of, you know, chuckle to myself, that's fun. I forgot how fun it is to write and bring these characters to life, you know.
Yeah, that's always a good sign, I think. And also the other thing I love is that it's kind of opening up access to everyone can play with this, right? And this, I always think there's so many people on the internet who are probably great storytellers but don't know it and, you know, haven't worked their way up necessarily through the film industry or the games industry, but actually have got amazing ideas and you can begin to build that and use AI to kind of help you do it. So yeah, that's very cool. So maybe you could talk to us a little more about some other use cases. Where is Charisma AI being used most at the minute today, and kind of where are you seeing it being used in the future?
Yeah, so again, our premise really is that characters are key to this type of storytelling. And, you know, in some ways, these are the characters that if you are watching a TV series, when that series ends, it's the characters you miss. So we always felt that actually our potential tie-ins and our affinity with TV as a medium where series can last for many episodes and then have a break, that affinity is very much there. So the first couple of projects we did actually were with the BBC and Sky in the UK. And then we started working with studios in the US. So that started with Warner Brothers. And it was bringing to life, the Warner Brothers project was fascinating because it was bringing to life the Steppenwolf character from Justice League. And Warner Brothers wanted to test what it felt like to speak to a 7'6", you know, alien being from the Justice League canon. And I can tell you, it feels strange. You know, this is not Alexa. This is not Siri. This is now, you know, this quite dominant character who's, you know, imposing their views on you and their you know, their intergalactic strategy. So I think that side works well. And then on a slightly more cuddly level, this week we launched a project for Puss in Boots for DreamWorks' new movie, which is wonderful.
I was just having a play on that before the interview. Yeah, it's very good. That's cool.
Which is good fun. Yeah, and that's adopting a cat and, you know, all of that good stuff. Cats and internet, what could go wrong?
Yeah, well, exactly. So it's a classic combination. And yeah, you get to kind of choose your traits of the cat and it sort of creates this cat for you and then choose whether you want to play or do other things. And it is when people talk about the metaverse and immersive experiences where it responds to you, it steps in those directions and it's personalized and very cool. So yeah, I enjoyed that for sure. And it's interesting, when you talk about kind of IPs and films and games, obviously today, traditionally, they kind of live within their boundaries. If you go and see a film or a series of films, it's amazing story when you're there, and maybe really successful franchises like Harry Potter or whatever else have the films, and then the games come out and maybe the theme park and everything else, and it kind of lives in the real world but in these sort of cut off moments where you go and experience it. So are you thinking potentially about now these characters living online day to day, responding maybe to current events, being able to be interactive all the time, and so an audience can actually spend time with the characters they love in a way they never could before? Is that what's coming in your mind?
It's such an interesting question, because the short answer is yes. The longer answer is that when we read a book or watch a movie or watch a TV series or play a game, there is a sort of beginning and a middle and an end to those, and when we finish them, that's broadly it in that sequence. But of course, the moment we're into a sort of persistent world like the internet is on 24/7 the whole time, then there is no reason why those characters cannot exist 24/7. They cannot exist, you know, in a relationship with you that not only lasts a number of hours but could last days, weeks, months, even years. And so while it sounds sort of crazy out there thinking, it is what a lot of the studios and indeed games industry are starting to think about. And in fact, we did a 2-year research project with the University of Southern California over the last couple of years, trying to look at how do you write, how do you come up with a character that can behave like this? And that paper, which was setting this sort of universal character model, contemplated AI, thought about what happened, you know, with generative AI, with the scripts being generated, and how you keep characters interesting over a period of time. Because I think the problem we have at the moment is, you know, you can have a quick interaction with ChatGPT or any of those sorts of technologies, and it's great for a moment, but it doesn't sustain over a period of time. And so that is something that for us is a brilliant creative challenge, not a technical challenge, it's a creative challenge. And I think one of the fun things that we are exploring at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting for sure. And I think with the bigger studios, it's interesting to see how, say, I don't know, Harry Potter could live in all those circumstances that we talked about, and then you could maybe go and interact with him. What are the parameters? Because I imagine they would be nervous, or any IP or brand would be nervous about handing over an IP they've created to then be run by AI. So is it working within parameters with Charisma AI where you've got some control? Can you control that? Or how does that work for people? Because that was probably a first question that people would want to know the answer to, I'd imagine.
Well, again, it's fascinating because I think we're starting to see that coming out in a lot of the conversations we're having, where you might be working on a production and then the creative people go, I love it, I love it. And the brand people go, I love it, I love it. And then someone says, I'm just going to run it past legal. And you know that the moment that hits, if there is any form of GPT-3 or anything in it, suddenly the conversation gets complicated because they want to see the script. And of course, there is no script because it's generated. And our starting premise with Charisma was always that we put the writer first. So the writers do write their script. We do allow for a sort of safe environment where, you know, you talk about, you've mentioned Harry Potter and equally other brands, that character will never step out of character, will never say something that it shouldn't say, or indeed, almost more importantly, do something that it shouldn't do. Because in essence, Charisma is a platform into which writers have written this stuff. Our relationship with GPT-3 is that at certain moments you can send the user out to it. You can sort of throw to it, almost like an improv moment. But the core narrative is always going to head down a safe path. And there is that legal reason for it for brands, but also for education, as you mentioned. You know, I mean, you really don't want your teacher to go off track and say something bizarre. Not least because it's the kids who are most used to finding out ways around to break the system, and that's fine. So I think from our perspective, it's been around that safety, I suppose, but also making sure that the context, like I talked about before, can be maintained. So for example, I'll give you an example about GPT-3, different IP, but let's say I were to ask a character like Luke Skywalker, who is your father? Now, there are various answers to that question, depending on where you are in the Star Wars canon. So, you know, the basic one might be, my father is Darth Vader and I hate him. That's fine at a particular episode, but prior to that episode, he doesn't know that. So he doesn't know that link's there. So if he were to answer that question in the very first episode, big spoiler alert. Now, actually, there's only one episode where that particular statement is true, because after that, he then starts to have a different sort of relationship with his father, and then it's Anakin and then all sorts of other things. So the context within that is vital. It's not just about information about being able to say, this is what my father is, or what the weather is, or what my favorite fruit is, or anything like that. You have to keep that story there. So I suppose that's a way of saying we've always wanted to start from a premise that the art of storytelling is key, and then build the advanced technology on top of it, rather than going, oh, look, here's some cool tech, now let's try and automatically generate stories, because, you know, that's not our perspective.
Yeah, interesting. And in your mind, what does the kind of future of entertainment look like in maybe 5 years, which is a big impossible to answer question, but we have the kind of known films, IPs, books and everything else now. Where do you think this sits? And it feels like in a game like Grand Theft Auto or Red Dead Redemption or Skyrim or something like that, it kind of opens up this persistent world. It's not just a game release, it's a continual experience that people go back to, which is kind of happening in something like GTA already. But yeah, I'd be interested to know, what do you think for the average user who is looking at a range of possible content options in a day that's going to grab their attention, where do you think this kind of all sits? What's your vision?
Well, I think it's simply that the characters come to life and that as they come to life, we become closer to that story. We become involved in that story. So again, you'll notice that I'm talking about stories, not necessarily what medium they're in. I think the games industry is a natural fit for this. But there is no reason why you couldn't be sitting at home on your sofa watching a horror movie. And, you know, there's someone about to go down into a basement and you shout out, "Oh God, don't go down into the basement." And then the character turns to you, looks straight out through the camera and says, "Luke, why not? Why shouldn't I go down the basement?" "Well, because there's a monster down there. I heard it before." "What monster? I didn't hear it." And suddenly you're there and debating with those characters. So I think there's a TV space where we could see that through that medium. And then also, I think we wanted to, as a company, we also wanted to explore this ourselves, you know. And a few years ago, worked with the estate of John Wyndham, who wrote, as you know, Dare the Triffids and other Chrysalids and many other great books. And we licensed The Kraken Wakes, which is stories I've always loved since I was a kid. I think it was almost like the James Bond that Wyndham wrote. It's much more global, you know, in settings in various parts of the world. And so we started work adapting that and adapting it onto the Charisma platform, which, as I said, is suddenly you're in it. You're working for the broadcasting company as a journalist, and you experience all of the story as it happens, talking to the characters. I got to say, it was really hard to do the adaptation. I mean, not only were we doing something which was crazy ambitious about taking a book and moving into any other medium, which is always hard, but trying to then pioneer a new form of storytelling while you're doing it was a bit of a challenge. But that's exciting, and you know, that launches in March this year, 2023, and we will see how it goes. I think for us, it's as much as anything a showcase to the games industry to say, you know, how might this feel? How might it feel to have these characters come to life? So that's our piece. Now, again, you know, where might that go in the future? God, who knows? I mean, I'm a huge fan of HBO's Westworld and indeed the original movie. You know, could it go into robotics? Absolutely. Could it go into AR? Absolutely. You know, I think that there is a sort of humanizing of the internet that is increasingly occurring as we try and make that technology feel more relatable. And so my sense is that that's the trend that's going to happen in the next few years.
Yeah, interesting. Well said, for sure. And we've talked a lot about, you know, maybe TV and film and games and stuff. But for the kind of average user who wants to go and experiment with this, might be a great storyteller, but might not have the resources to you know, build a full production. People can go and play with this and see how it all works. And I saw some cool stuff with MetaHumans from obviously on the Unreal Engine, Epic Games side of stuff. So, how can people kind of go and get involved and start to play with this tech?
Oh, totally. So it's an interesting journey here as well, because I think as we wanted to experiment ourselves, like I was saying before, with Kraken Wakes, we started to look at what sort of stories would work best. And we started to realize, well, hang on, we're character focused. So that means the dialogue is very important to us. So whichever medium we're looking at has got to be very dialogue heavy. And of course, this is an interactive medium. It's quite visual. So we were looking for a lot of visual medium and settled on doing a first test on graphic novels, comic books. They're 2D. So there's a sort of, it's a contained medium in some ways. But very heavily dialogue and visual focused, and we liked the stories. So we worked with a French book publisher, licensed some of those titles and adapted them into an app called the Charisma Comics app, aptly named, and launched those, I think, 5 adaptations we did, a couple of original commissions, and then opened the whole thing up. So the idea really was, if someone is interested in experimenting with this, experimenting with interactive storytelling, experimenting with all the things we've just talked about, there's a simple way, which is to, you know, sign up at Charisma. It's a free thing, you know, start writing stories, and then you can publish them straight into the app. That's the sort of fun way to do it. And that really was the first step, I suppose, in 2D of then moving into 3D, which is where we are now. And then the next step beyond that is metaverse related, in the sense that it's 3D, but persistent, you know, persistent world, as distinct from this sort of single experience. So it's easy to start. And I think, you know, what we're seeing coming out of some of the stories that have been published into the app is wonderful. I love looking at the different shapes, the stories that people write. It's a very visual medium, very much like, you know, writing in Miro or one of those sort of connected structures.
What are some of those stories that you've seen that have kind of impressed you or really caught your eye? Has there been anything that's stood out to you that you've gone, that's a great use of the technology?
I think it's when people, I think it's when people have really thought about the impact that having their audience in the story is. So using things like, there's a feature in Charisma, which is memories. So the ability to remember what a player has said, a sentence or something, or what they've done, and then quote that back at a certain time. Now, initially, that could just me saying to you, hi, what's your name? And you go, my name's Luke. I said, Luke, nice to meet you. Okay, so that's just a strength, almost social affirmation that I've heard you and I've acknowledged that I've caught your name and remembered it. But if it's something that is then more choreographed for tension, where we may have had a conversation and then I've asked you something and you've said a particular viewpoint, and 15, 20 minutes later, the character says, no, but Luke, sorry, but what you said before was different. What you said before was this, you know, and it's those conversations which in real life we go, oh, duh, you got me, you know, which ultimately is gameplay. You know, there's a lot of gameplay and conversation. So those sorts of uses I really like, where people are, I suppose, breaking out of a straight linear monologue into something which is much more playful and fluid.
Yeah, it's always very strange and trippy when, yes, something is a callback from something you forgot you even said, that the character, the AI has remembered. It really brings realism to it, because you realise it's been listening to everything you've been saying, you know, and it's a richer character in that way, isn't it? Well, guys, thank you so much. There's so much good stuff in there. Definitely encourage people to go and play with it. It's probably the main thing, because you can really begin to understand it and see how powerful and how fun it is as well. Tell us, is there anything else to look out for that's coming up from Charisma AI? And then just tell us maybe where people can go to find it as well.
So we've got a couple of things coming up that are fun. I mean, obviously the Kraken Wakes is a key piece of how a narrative game can leverage this sort of AI technology, which is great. But we've also been working on a more, I suppose, artistic project called Project Electric Sheep, which has been exploring if you were to start way out there, you know, in the generative AI world, and build up a 3D space solely on generative AI pillars, what would it feel like? So Project Electric Sheep will launch soon. It is a dream simulator. You type in your dream, literally just whatever you thought you'd dreamt of, and then the 3D world will be generated in front of your eyes, interpreting that dream. So all the buildings, all the weather system, the characters, the dialogue, the faces, all generating in completely unique dreamlike way. So that's going to be quite fun. And naturally, a lot of that experience then feeds back into what we're doing at Charisma. And yeah, I heard people just, you know, if you've got a character who's sitting on a shoulder and wanting to get out, or in your mind and you want to do it, give it a go. Charisma AI is the website, and have fun. We'd love to see what people come up with.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I'm well excited for that. Yeah, it sounds very cool. I'll definitely be checking that out for sure. And yeah, I'll link everything obviously below so people can jump through and go and play with it. But Guy, thank you so much for coming on.
Pleasure. Thank you so much, Luke. Great to be here.
So there we are. Definitely head over to charisma.ai. You can read more about it and get experimenting with it as well. I'll link Project Electric Sheep also, which looks epic. Thank you very much to Guy for coming on. Thank you very much for your support. Do reach out and say hello. It's @Luke_Franks on Twitter. Have a great rest of your week and see you for next week's episode.